Dante Exum broke my heart, man. That was like, those were hard times.
Yeah, after like the first 3 years of hope, I gave up.
Yeah, there was like one torn ACL, then there was a second one, another one.
Yeah.
What was he, like the third overall pick or the fifth overall pick? Which one was he?
He was fifth.
No, he was fifth.
Oh my God, he was. It went Aaron Gordon, Dante Exum, Marcus Smart. It was devastating.
Gosh.
Brevin Zollinger repeating. Alex Kinnear, first appearance on the Turnaround J podcast. How does it feel, Alex?
Feels like an honor. Glad to be here.
Once upon a time, we started a podcast. Do you guys remember how that podcast started?
I remember how it ended.
I'm trying to think.
Oh man, Brevin's breaking up.
Yo, Brevin's gotta get him close, gotta get himself closer to that Wi-Fi.
You not posting it. Can you guys hear me or no?
Oh, we caught you not posting
how did it start? What was the original hot take that brought it all together? Or was it just your idea to do a podcast? I don't even remember.
It wasn't my idea. This is the funny part. So, like, I was lying down in my room one day doing one of my power naps that became routine from, like, 3 to 5. It's not a power nap at that point, but it's fine. Anyway, and, like, you guys burst into the room, and you're like, Josh, we should start a podcast. And I was like, okay. Like, I never expected you two to come to me about starting a podcast. I was like, all right, let's do it. I think that night we did the first one.
Yeah.
Remember the first one was on the phone at the table. Yeah. And that was one of our best ones. That was maybe the best episode.
We had the most juice.
It was just, we kept hitting the table and the phone kept falling and you couldn't hear anything.
It was so ghetto, but it was the OG. It was the originals. Awesome. So I'm just going to hit you guys with a bunch of trades first. We're going to go hard on NBA. So we're calling this game Who Says No. So we'll start with Chris Paul trades, and I'll ask Alex first, and then Brevin, you can follow up on Alex and we'll just kind of play it from there. But so I tried to do like three trades per guy. So there's the rumored one, there's the one that I made up, and then there's the like the blockbuster. What, you can pick your poison. What do you want, Alex?
Are we saying no if we think that one of the parties won't agree, or are we just saying if we want it to happen, like Chris Paul to the Celtics for nothing? Like, yeah. Or...
No, absolutely not. No, so I'm going to hit you. I have a trade.
What's the criteria?
I made a trade. There's two teams involved. There's players. I'll read it to you. And then you tell me which of the teams says no, or if they go for it.
Okay.
All right. So we'll start with the rumored one. Rumor has it that the Phoenix Suns and the Thunder are discussing a Chris Paul trade. So that would look like probably Chris Paul for Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, and maybe like a rookie like Michael Bridges, and then probably the 10th pick for Chris Paul. Alex, who says no?
The Suns say no.
The Suns? You would say no if you're the Suns.
Oh, yeah. Chris Paul, all right, how many good years does he have left in him? And are the Suns really going anywhere in the next couple of years? Not if they're getting rid of Kelly Oubre and Mikal Bridges.
Ooh.
So, yeah, the upside for that trade, because that's just – especially if they have to give away two of the young assets and a pick with that, there's no way the Phoenix Suns are doing enough next year to make it worth giving all that up for Chris Paul.
Brad, what you got?
No, absolutely not for both sides. I think that's just an awful – well, maybe for the Thunder just to get something out of the trade, because Chris Paul doesn't have a lot of years left, like Alex said. So if I'm a Thunder GM, maybe I take that trade just to get Kelly Oubre Jr., some other young players, and the first-round pick. That maybe be a deal for them because they're not really a contender right now anyway. But if I'm the Suns, that just seems like a really bad deal.
Interesting. I don't I'm not riding this wave. There was like the 8-0 in the bubble thing where it's like, oh man, we're jumping in. I don't buy it. If I did buy it, this trade makes sense. I think actually if I'm the Thunder, I say no though. Unless they throw in that 10th pick. If you throw in the 10th pick, I start thinking about it. But yeah. I don't love it.
I agree.
All right, Brevin, here's the weird one. This is the one I made up. But but I love it. I think it's fun. So Chris Paul goes to the New Orleans Pelicans. Just Chris Paul alone. The Pelicans send back J.J. Redick, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Jackson Hayes, and Nicolo Melli. Who says no?
Wait, five guys for one?
Yeah, bro. Chris Paul's making $40 million.
Who says no? That's a good
question. Let me go through this a little bit while you're sitting on it. I love this for the Pelicans because, like, oh, is Brevin in space? We totally lost Brevin in space. Brev, you got to get closer to Wi-Fi connector. You're killing me here. All right.
All right. Zion and Ingram and –
dude, me and Alex are just watching Brevin. Just wonder.
Brevin's gone.
Dude, we got a. Oh, he's actually gone. Oh. Here we go. Right. Brevin's on the move. All right, Brev, who says no?
All right, but I think the Pelicans say no. You can't give up that much. Although, it might be worth it, though. I mean, because if you have Chris Paul, Zion, and Ingram, maybe put yourself into a playoff. Like decent playoff spot, you're not really a contender, I don't think yet. But
you're also leaving Drew Holiday if you do the trade this way. In most trades, they have Drew Holiday going back to the Thunder, so that would be you got Chris Paul, Drew Holiday starting backcourt. Then you got Zion and Ingram to build around. You still have some good role players in there. Depends on how you feel about some of those Pelicans guys. There's a couple scoring guards on there, but I love it. I love the idea of Chris Paul throwing lobs to Zion. I think. Stan Van plus CP. I think it's fun. But Alex, what do you think? Who says no?
Personally, I think that it would be a better deal for the Pelicans. I think Chris Paul's better than all the guys you're giving up in that situation. But I don't know how the Pelicans management is looking. I think that would make them a better team, but there's a lot of people that think, well, Lonzo's the perfect fit for Zion. He's like the ideal combo with him. I think Chris Paul would be a great fit with Zion as well. But you still run into kind of what I was talking about in the last trade. I don't think that gives them enough to really become a contender still. I still think that the Pelicans remain like a 6-7 seed sort of team out west. And I just don't see it benefiting them enough to really be worth maybe giving up all those younger assets as Chris Paul's towards the end. So I think that definitely makes the Pelicans a better team immediately, but I don't think either side would really go for that.
I really like it for the Thunder to get Lonzo, actually. I think it'd be fun to get Lonzo just away from the spotlight and just to kind of like carry some smaller team, and he can kind of figure out his own thing instead of like constantly being scrutinized.
Does it get smaller than the Pelicans?
I think OKC.
New Orleans is a pretty small market. OKC is, yeah, a little bit. OKC, Portland, those are about as small as
I feel like OKC's had more recognition than the Pelicans, though, with their years with KD and Westbrook, and then you move to the Chris Paul
MVP.
No, that's true. That's true for sure, but I think
the Thunder have done a really good job at staying relevant because they should have just been sunk after they got rid of Vince Gilligis Alexander. Yeah. He's really good and on the up and coming. And they got a ton of assets when they got rid of Westbrook.
Oh, they have like 50 Rockets, Clippers so. Picks. It's amazing.
The Rockets are the team that screwed long term. Are we going to talk about them or is that for another
podcast? We're getting there. We're going to get to them. Rockets are wilding right now. So then my last Chris Paul trade, this is just a blockbuster. And this is like, I think this one's a little obvious, but I just had to put it on there because it's been rumored a lot. Chris Paul to the 76ers, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, and who knows how many picks, as many picks as you could throw in there, I guess. Probably an unprotected first and probably a protected first and a second. Probably like three picks in there. Alex, who says no?
The Thunder say no for sure. What are they getting back? How many picks are they getting? Depends on how many picks they get.
I have them getting three. They could get more. I don't know how many of the Sixers have stock.
If you go three first round picks, well, but if you think about that, like the Sixers first round picks aren't even going to be that valuable. They're going to be in the 20s because right. The Sixers are going to be good. The Sixers need to address their Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid problem because those two just don't have play styles that are compatible with each other. Like you need someone that can shoot with Joel Embiid, so it opens up the middle for him a little bit more, and Ben Simmons is not that. Despite him getting a ton of hype in preseason games when he hits a three and everyone says, oh, he's got a shot now, watch out for Ben Simmons.
I think he's only taken two career threes.
I'm sure his percentage is probably best in the NBA because he's only shot like twice.
He's like one for three.
But I don't know who's a worse shooter, Ben Simmons or Russell Westbrook, but it's pretty close probably.
What do you got? What do you think about the 76er trade, Brev? You had some nods earlier. I saw you nodding.
If I'm the Sixers, I'm jumping all over that, and I am shipping Ben Simmons as quick as I can. I just like if you're gonna go all in on Joel Embiid, I feel like you just can't have him and Simmons together. It just hasn't worked and it won't work. So if they're gonna mix things up and try for Paul's deal, then the Thunder won't take Simmons. Simmons in there, I don't think.
The Thunder Simmons is won't. Good. And if you're the Sixers, you don't want to give up Simmons for Chris Paul because Simmons is worth a lot more than Chris Paul, especially because he's young. He's a really good defender.
Yeah,
Simmons is worth a lot. If the Sixers could get Chris Paul and maybe like two first round picks for Ben Simmons, then maybe it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Overall, I really don't think that's a good trade for either side. It depends on who's getting shipped from the Sixers, but the Sixers just got to figure something out with those two. I don't know.
I think that would be a good trade for the Sixers if they could get Chris Paul and then they could get a few picks to go with Ben Simmons, and that way they could keep Tobias Harris as well, which Tobias Harris is kind of like really hot or really cold.
he's a decent player. It's the contract that really like sinks that ship. Like then you see, you're like,
that's true. Yeah.
How much for how long? That's most of the reason why I had.
And also, I say Ben Simmons for Chris Paul, but I don't know how the money works out there. I'd have to look into that.
Probably doesn't. I don't know Chris when Paul's Simmons
making a lot of money.
Paul has like, I was just looking. Paul has like 80 something million over the next 2 years that a team would have to buy out, which is insane.
Yeah. Okay. He's getting 40 a year.
Chris Paul, that makes it even harder with him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough. It looks like the Phoenix one is the most likely. It's been rumored. But the fact that it was rumored also suggests that it's not. Like, if it gets rumored and, like, it's not done within, like, 2 days, I'm always pretty sus by that point. So, I really like the Sixers. I actually think it can work more than people think with the Simmons and Embiid thing. People forget if it weren't for that Kawhi crazy buzzer beater, those guys would have made the Eastern Conference Finals. Or was that the Finals?
That was the Finals. No, wait.
They would have made the Finals, I think, right?
It was Eastern Conference Finals, yeah. Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So if they win that game, they go to the Finals?
No, to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think.
Something like that. Either way,
I don't know.
That Raptors team ended up winning the championship, and they were that close to beating that team. So I don't think it's impossible. I'm more sus on Doc Rivers than most. I don't think he's a bad coach, but I don't know. Like, he only has the one title, and like, he's a great underdog coach, I've noticed. Like, when the Clippers weren't expected to do anything, all of a sudden they're an eight seed, like messing up the Warriors, and like, when he's like leading the Magic, or even that 08 Celtics team was like the underdog team, but like still like with any overdog team, he's been like, it's nothing. Like the Lob City Clippers, I mean, that's one of the biggest like fails of like NBA history. You had Doc Rivers as your coach, right, Alex? You're a big Celtic fan. How was your Doc Rivers experience?
I mean, I'm stoked they got the title. I think they probably should have gotten two back when they were there. I think they should have beaten the Lakers in 10. That in, I think it was 2010, that went to 7 games, and they freaking let Pau Gasol beat them. Kobe had a horrible game, but Pau Gasol went off because apparently Kevin Garnett just didn't want to play defense or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm definitely sus of Doc Rivers. Like, people – and the worst part about it is you've seen, like – I think it was Kendrick Perkins that came out and said, yeah, Doc Rivers is way overrated. Who played for Doc Rivers at that time when they won the championship? And he said, yeah, our coach was Kevin Garnett. Like, he ran our team. He did everything. So, yeah, I don't think that Doc Rivers' resume is really all that impressive when you consider that, especially, like you said, Lob City days. You had the Warriors in the same division as them, so that's tough. And the Warriors were
– But that was the baby Warriors.
Was a, that was even a little bit before. Well, yeah.
That was the Mark Jackson.
It was during – Lob City started before, but it was also during all of their prime years. So, yeah.
To be fair, Kendrick Perkins says – he's like Skip Bayless, man. That guy just says the craziest crap ever. But,
yeah, that guy's a little crazy, but
– But all still, right, but it is pretty condemning.
But the Clippers-Rockets trade, did you hear about that one today?
No, what was that trade?
They're talking about shipping. So it would be Paul George to the Rockets for Westbrook. Westbrook, their first-round pick, and someone else on the team. I don't remember who.
Who said that?
It's like a big rumor all over Twitter right now.
I Googled that. I Googled Rockets rumors. I'm sus about that.
So it would be the Rockets and Clippers deal. It would send Paul George and a first-round pick to Houston and Russell Westbrook to L.A.
Having Paul George and James Harden on the same roster is, like, such a catastrophe. I can't even begin.
Hold up. I don't know who that's worse for.
You have to attach a pick to Paul George to get Russell Westbrook? Paul George is better than Russell Westbrook.
Dude, all right. Did you watch the playoffs? Let's watch the playoffs.
Was Russell Westbrook better?
Yeah, that's debatable.
But it is debatable. I mean, shoot.
I think George was absolutely trash. I think it's bad for both teams. I just think maybe they're just like, hey, let's shake things up a little bit.
I love it. I think the Clippers would win the title, and I'm not kidding. And I think the Rockets would be like a bottom three team. No, I'm just kidding. But Paul George and James Harden on the same team.
Paul George was third in MVP voting two seasons, or last season, not this past season, but the season before. Third best player in the NBA two seasons ago.
And I'm pretty sure he was the bottom in the NBA history of freaking shooting percentage in the playoffs. He tanked, man. He tanked, but it wasn't just like he wasn't hustling. That's the thing. It wasn't like a thing where it's like, oh, he's clearly giving it his all and he's just not doing well. It was like, where'd he go? Oh, it was bad.
Paul George, he had a bad playoffs, but he'll bounce back. I think he'll be good next year. I mean, Paul George, his entire season's been, he's had a good season. He's fallen apart and bounced back. I mean, he was the one who had his freaking bone lay outside of his body for when he played for Team USA or whatever, and he bounced back from that. He was at the top of the NBA after that again.
Wasn't he the 2K cover that year? Jeez.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I think he'll have a good season next year. Hopefully not with the Clippers, because – I just hate LA, but whatever.
While we're on Westbrook, where do you guys want to see Westbrook end up? He's been rumored to the Hornets. Knicks are rumored to have interest. He wants out of Houston. That's pretty obvious. Where would you want to see him?
Retired? I don't know.
Oh, are you a Westbrook hater?
I'm sick of watching Westbrook. He's never gonna win. Like, he's just a crazy guy on the court, and like, he's fun to watch. Like, don't get me wrong, that guy's crazy athletic and fun, but I just feel like he's toxic to all of his teammates. Like, I don't know.
I think it's Charles funny. Barkley 2.0. I think if you start him at power forward, he like is like the best. I'm not even kidding. Like, get him on a team where he's playing power forward. Like, I wanted the Rockets to do that. Just have him start guarding power forwards and just freaking, like, rebounding, like, out of
his
mind.
He's, like, 6'1", 6'3", 6'1". I think he's 6'1".
He's probably stronger than some power forwards, though. That dude's, like, an athletic freak.
Yeah. Westbrook, he's always in the headlines, and it's usually for something dumb, like a fan offended his feelings and he got the fan kicked out or something dumb like that. Like, all the players don't deal with that.
Didn't
like,
he yell at Rondo's brother? Westbrook, wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, he was like there at the bench during.
I'm here for Westbrook to the Knicks. I think that'd be fun. I don't. Right.
On a Knicks note, I was looking at some today. It shows all these headlines that Knicks are interested in someone. It has Kyrie Irving has Knicks on short list. Anthony Davis confirmed Knicks made final cut. Jimmy Butler requests trade with Knicks reportedly on list. New York Knicks are on the Charlotte Hornets Kemba Walker short list. It's like,
dude, get yourself a PR rep. Whoever's the PR rep for the Knicks getting floating into all those rumors, man. Like, that guy needs a raise. That dude's doing a killer job.
I know.
I hope they get good again. I really do. I think that it's just time. Like, the Lakers had their time when they were bad and they bounced back. The Celtics had their weird years and they bounced back. It's just time. We need some good Knicks basketball. I'm kind of sick of it.
I'd be okay.
The Lakers and Celtics have championship DNA, though. The Knicks are just – I don't think their front office even cares.
They just revamped the whole front office. I thought Thibodeau was a bad hire. I still can't believe the Nets coach, Kenny Atkinson, he didn't get a head coaching job, and I still don't understand that, but it's whatever.
I think my favorite thing from last year was, like, the fake rivalry we had between the Nets and the Knicks, like, two just, like, trash teams.
That's going to be fun eventually.
This battle for New York, like.
We're all banking on that one eventually. We don't actually know when it's.
But if Westbrook does go there, that makes Knicks games more interesting.
No, Katie and Westbrook.
Kyrie and Westbrook. Sure, why not?
Dude, I freaking love that. I love Kyrie. I love watching Kyrie. I think whether he actually helps his team is a good question, but I love watching him. Okay, all right. So another guy rumored on the trade block is Drew Holiday. Good defender, good player, not like a superstar, but probably a very quality starter, good third banana. Third banana. Why did banana get that title? Anyway, so I have – we'll just do two Drew trades. Drew Holiday to the Nets for Taurean Prince and Caris LeVert. Rev, who says no?
For who on the Nets? Caris LeVert and who?
And Taurean – Taurean? No, it's Taurean. Taurean Prince.
Oh, Prince. Taurean Prince. Oh, man.
I think it's Taurean, I don't know.
Who knows?
I haven't watched the Nets enough to know how good these guys are. I know LeVert has got a lot of upside. Drew Holiday is pretty young, though, and he is in his prime right now. So if the Nets want to make a title run in the next 2 years, I think it'd be worth it to get Drew Holiday, put him alongside Kyrie and KD. But
if you're the Pelicans, you say yes?
I'm the Pelicans. I don't think it's worth it. I think Drew's too. I don't think you want two younger guys on that young roster already. You want Drew, who's a little bit more seasoned on that team, I think. Pelicans would say yes.
I think Drew Holiday's a better asset than Caris LeVert and Taurean Prince. So I don't think the Pelicans would say yes to that.
Sure.
But I like that. Sorry, who was the other team? Was it the Nets in the trade? Yeah, the Nets who have.
Yeah, Caris LeVert.
I would love that if I were the Nets. Well, yeah, I would love that if I were the Nets because they are kind of in a win now situation with
KD
and Kyrie Irving. So I think that'd be a great pickup for the Nets. I don't know if the Pelicans would say yes to that, though.
I like it from the Pelicans. I'm higher on Caris LeVert than I think most people are.
What, is Drew Holiday running the two right now with Lonzo at point? Or how are they doing that?
Yeah, he can play point, but he's been vocal about wanting to play two. So
that's a pretty small backcourt, I think. With I guess Kyrie's not small, so I guess it wouldn't be that bad. But
yeah, and Drew's known for being a good defender. One more Drew trade. I like this one better. James Johnson, the number one pick from the Timberwolves going to the New Orleans Pelicans for Drew Holiday. Alex, who says no?
What? No, yeah. Definitely they're not giving up the number one pick for Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is not the number one pick caliber player. Come on now.
Dude, the number one pick in this draft is garbage, though. I don't know.
Garbage? I don't know.
He's definitely not garbage. I think – all right, well, who do we think that the Timberwolves would take? I wouldn't be surprised if the Timberwolves dealt that pick, but Drew Holiday is definitely not worth a number one pick.
No, no.
Maybe in this draft, though. I don't know. This draft sucks. Who would you like? Who's more valuable to you guys than Drew Holiday to take with the number one pick? Are we on the LaMelo train? Where are we looking?
I just don't trust the ball family, so I would definitely – I would say definitely safer to go with Edwards or Wiseman.
Wiseman.
I think
those guys have a lot of upside.
I think Edwards will go number one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Depending on where he gets dealt, he seems to be the best. I don't know. I mean, from what I've been hearing, LaMelo Ball should go number one. And so I don't know, man. Because he's been playing four, and so I'm sure he's looked great. I haven't really watched him play at all, but
he the people look who great. Have watched him play That's in person, the scary part.
He doesn't.
So he's got really good feel. Like, his passes, he has, like, some wild passes where it's like, yo, is this Jason Kidd? What's going on? But, like, he honestly has a lot of D'Angelo Russell in him where it's like, you just shot what? Like, what are you doing? And then, like, because he was playing international, he's playing on this team where, like, he's the only guy. And so he's just, like, it's just the LaMelo show. And he didn't get, like, more disciplined. He didn't get a lot better. I don't know. I'm not low on him. I think his ceiling's pretty high, but I also think his floor is pretty low. I think that I'm not sure that he's a surefire number one pick. Who would you guys go with number one? I like Edwards a lot.
I like Edwards. If I'm the T-Wolves, what do they need right now? They're still trying to ride on Kat. And
depends on if they're getting Devin Booker to go with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. But
yeah. Yeah,
I think there's any chance the Suns wouldn't do it. There's no way the Suns would go for that.
Suns aren't letting go of Booker.
So then with Ball as a point, I'm not taking him number one if I'm the T-Wolves, unless I'm trying to deal him to a team that's super interested because they don't need that.
Would you trade down? Like, if the Bulls are like, hey, here's Wendell Carter and the number four pick, would you swap?
I don't know. There's only really three good picks in the draft. After that, I think it gets a little sketchy. So if you're not picking top three or not grading for it, I don't know.
I'd say top four because I've heard a lot about Obi Toppin as well. And Obi Toppin having a lot of potential. So
And there's the other big.
It sounds like there's a.
Okongwu, who could be pretty
Okongwu,
good.
Okongwu, I think, is still the draft. I can't.
He could be.
They list off the things that he's good at, and I'm like, I don't know what else I'd want out of a big man. They're like, oh, yeah, he's got great hands. He can score with either hand. Great defender. Good rebounder.
Sounds like he's kind of like Bam.
Yeah, they're throwing some Bam comparisons. I think that's skipping a step because, you never know with these young guys. But that's the problem with player comps. That's not really not anybody's fault, but I think Edwards is the best bet just because, like, Georgia is not like a real program, they're just kind of getting their legs, and he just has that running back body, man. We're like, if that dude goes into the lane, I'm not sure anybody can get in his way. I think Wiseman's numbers are off the charts, but I can't get a good read for him. Like, any big man who's like, I can shoot threes, I'm always sus of that big man. I'm always like, Lauri Markkanen was like the last good big man that could shoot threes. Karl Anthony Towns is like actually just raining it from three. He's wild, but I don't love this draft. Okay, another rumor that was floated, which mostly felt like trolling, but I actually love this trade, is DeMar DeRozan. To the Lakers.
I saw that.
For Kuzma, Danny Green, threw in Quinn Cook to finish it off. What, Alex, who says no? Lakers, Spurs?
The Lakers definitely don't say no. I think the Spurs maybe say no. I don't know.
If you throw in a pick, would you say yes?
That's almost interesting. If you throw in a pick, maybe, because DeMar DeRozan is good. He'd help out the Lakers a lot. I don't think that's the premier asset the Lakers are looking to get. I think the Lakers feel like they can do better and bring in more of a star. But I mean, I definitely think the Lakers would take that if their other deals fall through. DeMar DeRozan, he's just kind of chilling on the Spurs. He's not really going or doing a whole lot for them. Like, he's putting up good numbers. So Maybe if the Lakers throw in a pick with that, that could happen, but I don't know.
Let me tell you who says yes, Josh. Danny Green. He is done with the slander in LA. He wants to go back home where his fans know that he did something good for him, even though he can't do it anymore. Danny Green wants out of LA. He got his ring. He's tired of it.
Dude, did you see the NBA 2K21 like version of him where like instead of his like mid-fro, it's got like this mat, like this padded down. It's like the most disgusting looking thing. I actually like this trade a lot for the Lakers. There's a lot of DeRozan hate out there because he doesn't shoot threes. But honestly, with the Lakers' like weird anti-style, I kind of love it. Like I kind of love like the idea of DeRozan getting in there, finishing at the lane or finishing at the rim and putting up mid-range jumpers just for JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard to grab the offensive rebound. I also think he's a good complimentary scorer to LeBron. I don't know. I don't hate it as much. There's been a lot of hate on that trade. I don't hate it a lot.
The Lakers. I think the Lakers need some shooters. That's what they don't have right now. They just won a championship, so like they're looking good, but I don't think they repeat next year unless they get at least one really solid shooter. I mean, their best shooter is probably, is it LeBron or is it Anthony Davis? Like,
dude, Anthony Davis. They're both
good shooters, but they're not great. But
Anthony Davis is
a pretty good shooter.
If I'm the Lakers, like, DeMar DeRozan sounds great, but yeah, go get a J.J. Redick. Go get a Duncan Robinson. Go get someone who can just sit in your corner and hit threes when your two best players are just driving to the rack and causing mayhem. Because, I mean, how many times
did you
kick it out and just bricks raining from Danny Green, from literally anyone off that entire
Markieff bench? Morris is like their like third best shooter, and you're like, wait.
if they had a good shooter like a Bogdanovich or a J.J. Redick, if they just had anyone like that, man, they would have won the title way easier than it already was.
It only took them five. No. So wasn't too
I'll
hard.
The other games, just like normal season, but
yeah. Season. My favorite pattern right now is the LeBron loses one and then sweeps. It's like like LeBron is like, all right, let's see what goes wrong, and then he like just takes notes, and then like just the rest of the series is just a wash.
And he did. I mean, he did what he needed to, but was kind of a cakewalk final. And maybe I sound like a hater saying that, but not having to run into the Clippers definitely made things a lot easier. Because the Clippers, I think the Clippers took them 2-1 in the regular season. Maybe it was 2-2.
Yeah, I think it was 2-2.
The Clippers were just a mess in the playoffs, but had they gotten it together, I think that would have been a really good series.
The Clippers. Yeah, that's the dock on that Clippers meltdown. Also, I was always sus about that Clippers team, for what it's worth. I never thought about them.
Plug for my Celtics as well, but I also think the Celtics would have given the Lakers more of a series. I don't know if they would have won, but I think it would have gone 6 or 7. And I think the Celtics would have beaten the Heat if they would have just figured out that zone earlier, but they just had no answer for the zone defense the first like 4 games, and they started to figure it out.
Yeah, I think we forget, because you know the Heat narrative kind of took over. We forget that like that Bam Adebayo block was kind of the series swinger. Like if Tatum dunks that, that's Celtics win, and like I think Celtics probably take the series. I think when they were up in that game, weren't they up 3-2 in that game? Is that they probably would have won the series. One last trade for you. I'm so excited. Oh, Brevin. Oh, I'm lobbing this at Brevin too. All right, Brevin, you ready?
No.
This is the jazz anarchist in me.
Okay.
Rudy Gobert to the Timberwolves. Give me that number one pick. James Johnson, Josh Okogie, Jarrett Culver, and Naz Reid. First of all, great list of names. But second of all, friggin', I'm done. Like, we need to shake it up. And, like, low-key, this is my pitch for this trade before you tell me who says no. Low-key, there's going to be, like, we already had it last year where there were a bunch of West teams that were, like, really fighting to get into that last part of the playoffs. And that all those teams are going to get better. Like, the Kings are going to be a little bit better. The Suns are going to be a little bit better. The Grizzlies are going to be better. I don't know what to do with the Blazers.
Trailblazers will be the same.
Yeah, like they'll be the same at least. So, like, that's like – those are four teams right there that are all going to be fighting to be better. This is the year. Let's tank it. Let's sneak into this draft. Let's, like, get young. We'll get, like, the sixth pick out of this next year. We get all these young guys. Then we get the sixth pick. And then all of a sudden we're chilling with, like, Donovan Mitchell and all those young guys. And all of a sudden we're, like, the best team in the league. Tell me why I wouldn't do this trade.
Oh, no. Rudy Gobert is too essential to the Jazz. As much as he kills me to watch every game, You can't ship him out. Also, I don't think the T-Wolves would say yes to that. I know Kat isn't really a center, but I just don't think he would fit. I don't know how many teams are actually, like, super high on Rudy Gobert, honestly. But, like,
tanking strategy is just, it's just a dangerous game because, especially Salt Lake, you're not going to get a marquee free agent, so it's going to have to all be through assets in the draft. So you got Donovan Mitchell. He's a great piece. But to become a contender, you probably need another great piece and a big signing. And it's hard to get a big signing as a small market. So yeah. I'd say you're at least – well, okay, with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, if you get one superstar, maybe you're a contender. Like, Kawhi Leonard went to the Jazz, I think they'd be a contender, right? But they're not getting Kawhi Leonard, so.
If they got DeRozan, that'd be nice. He'd fit good.
That would be bad.
It's not going to happen, though. Mm.
I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
I just don't think the Jazz are going to do anything. Unfortunately,
it's not. I think they're going to stand pat.
Yeah. Lakers were up 3-1 on the Nuggets, who went to the Western Conference Finals, right? So
yeah,
I think the Jazz are going to try to keep the same team. They've got to focus on re-signing Clarkson and Bogdanovich.
They need to get rid of Conley's contract.
They got to figure out Conley's contract. I don't know.
I don't know what they do there. I think they're going to run it back. I think they're going to stay steady.
I think so, too.
I think – I'm not sure that's the wrong move yet, but I do think that it's just a limited ceiling. I don't think that we have – I think that if we play like we played in those first three games when we like – or I guess first four games when we destroyed the Nuggets, that, you know, that's like if we get Conley going, we get Bogdanovich going, and we figure out a better flow. I think that team really could do some 0-4 Pistons stuff, but if 0-4 Pistons is like your absolute max ceiling, that's not good. You know, like they were the rarity. They were the exception team that won that. So I'm pretty out. Would you guys get rid of Rudy Gobert? Do you think the Jazz's ceiling is too low, or do you say run it back?
It depends on the pieces that I get for him, but I wouldn't right now. Also, the owners aren't going to. I think the new owner's super high on him.
I don't think you'd get enough back for him for what he's worth, so I'd say keep him.
I forgot about the new owner. Oh, new owner syndrome is common, though. When there's a new owner, oh, crazy. There's always weird-ish when somebody buys a team. There's always, like, something falls apart. I didn't even think about that. I'm so excited. The Mavs.
I just want to send him to the Warriors for that number two pick. I might be down.
Nah, I have that. I have the Warriors. They're the worst. That's the one bias I think I'll probably show of my NBA takes. Like I root for the Jazz, but man, I hate the Warriors. The Mavs, though, I think are a great fit for Gobert, and I'd be down for that trade as well. It's like all the Mavs good role players for Gobert. I love that.
That would be good.
Give my man Doncic a lob guy.
Can I read you CJ McCollum's tweet right now?
Yeah, you can.
So there's this potential trades for Russell Westbrook on Twitter from First Things First, and it says Portland would give up McCollum and Collins, and then CJ McCollum retweeted it and just put a bunch of laughing emojis.
Oh, actually, one more trade though before we keep going. The Magic are attaching Aaron Gordon to their 15th pick to try to move up. Rumor has it. Who wouldn't do that? Is there anybody who wouldn't do that? Am I too high on Aaron Gordon? Is he not perfect for the Wolves? Like, if I'm the Wolves, wouldn't I want like a good player who could defend and like finish? I don't know why people wouldn't bite on that right away.
I think you're just not realizing how valuable a number one pick is. A number one overall pick is huge. Aaron Gordon and a 15th pick is definitely not worth it to give up the number one pick.
Yeah,
I don't care how weak the draft is.
You're the Warriors. Listen, you're like close to contention. You can get a guy who's more athletic than Draymond, built the same way, could play good defense, has shown defensive flashes, but it's kind of off and on, finishes well, pretends like he can dribble, but he can't. But when you have Stephen Clay, he'll have to get the ball out of his hands. You could have Aaron Gordon and still get the 15th pick. You wouldn't do that if you're the Warriors.
No, absolutely not. Aaron Gordon would probably, what, would he come off the bench?
Or would I think he start you start him Draymond? With Draymond. That's like the all defense. Like who doesn't? They can guard anybody. I don't know. I like him. Maybe I'm too high on Aaron Gordon.
Draymond Green's lost a step. I don't think he's the defender he used to be.
No, but he's still.
I think this was definitely his year to prove that he's not a system player and break out and say, yeah, I can average 20 points without having to defer to Steph and Clay. And then he averaged like 10 points. Like he was garbage this year.
Dude, Draymond. Draymond is like a mean Charles Barkley. Like, you know, like Charles talks the talk, but like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like usually like chuckling or kind of good hearted. Freaking Draymond just like goes for the gut. He goes for the kill every time. It's like goes for the jugular.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, yeah, Draymond's not good. I want to like him. He's not overrated. Not good.
Yeah, he's really good because of the circumstances.
I mean, he was an all-star, wasn't he? I think he was an all-star.
Yeah, the biggest BS. But wasn't Kyle Korver an all-star? Or am I making
Kyle Korver was good back then.
Was raw.
I think deservedly,
No. That guy can't dribble. Dude. That guy can't defend. That guy can't pass. He can shoot. Wow, great. But
watch the clip of him hitting, like, 7 threes in like under like a couple of minutes. That clip is crazy. It's like Clay's highlight in the third quarter where he like has like 5 dribbles. I don't know. I think he was definitely deserving at the time.
No. I'm not in on that.
You don't have to do a whole lot good to be a good. I mean, Damian Lillard can dribble really well and can shoot really well. Does he do a whole lot? I mean, I guess he passes fine.
No, it's a shot.
He's considered one of the best players in the NBA, right?
He can finish.
He can create a shot, yeah. I don't know.
Creating shots different. All right. Now I want a bold prediction out of each of you. It can be a trade. It can be a stupid draft thing. It can be who wins the title next year. Except Alex, you can't say the Celtics or I'm gonna kill you. And so I'm gonna start. I think that this is bold. I feel like this is gonna be soft on the bold front. I think the Lakers are gonna repeat. I think it's the Lakers championship to lose. I don't see a lot of people that scare me. And I guess my like follow-up baby prediction with that is that I don't think the Warriors are going to be as good as they were before. I don't think they have the same roster that they used to. And I think that we're really invested in Clay and Steph as like the stars to carry it. But I think that it was the depth of that roster with Iguodala and some of the bigs that they had. That really made it a championship team, and I don't think they're gonna be that good. So I think it's the Lakers championship to lose. What say you guys?
The Lakers are definitely the favorites going into it, so I definitely wouldn't count that as a bold prediction.
Leaning in on the Warriors, then do you guys think the Warriors are gonna be good next year? I don't think they're. I think that they will be like a top six team in the West, but I don't think they're like a top three.
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they'll make a huge dent next year. The Lakers should repeat. Especially with all these trade rumors going on. If they can just get one shooter or just one extra piece, I mean, that's hard to beat.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think Draymond's not what he used to be, but I think he'll look better next year having Clay and Steph opening things up for him. Yeah. You got Andrew Wiggins, who I'm not super high on, but maybe he'll fit well in the system. Maybe he had to do a little bit too much for the Timberwolves. Maybe Andrew Wiggins will come alive a little bit. Right? And it's pretty much a lock at this point. The Giannis will be on the Warriors by next year. No, just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I guess it just all comes down to how good Steph and Clay are. I guess I just haven't seen them like play in like 3 or 4 years. And I remember them being amazing, but.
How about how good James Wiseman ends up being, or how good
that's true.
They're going to get the number two. They have the number two picks, so
yeah.
I definitely think the Warriors could win next year. I wouldn't say I expect it. I would say they probably will have like the fourth or fifth highest odds going into the season. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they ended up winning it all. And I definitely think that they'll make.
I would be very surprised if they won the championship. I wouldn't be surprised if they're successful. I would be very surprised if the Warriors won the championship. I would say that. And it's true. If they play the young guy right, honestly, I totally forgot that Wiggins was on that team, which is like the epitome of Wiggins. But I agree with you, actually. If Wiggins plays well, I think that team has a higher ceiling.
I still think that was one of the all-time worst moves they could have done was getting Wiggins, because Wiggins' contract is ginormous, and he's not that good. I think they should have held off, kept D'Angelo Russell, and tried to go after Ben Simmons is what they should have done, but they blew it. It's over. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Wiggins is a big contract that you can attach in part of a trade, because to get a really good player, you're going to have to put a lot of money.
Everyone keeps saying that, but they keep forgetting that the other team has to take Wiggins. Like, what? Who's the buyer? It's like, oh, man, Andrew Wiggins.
Well, you get a superstar that's unhappy. I don't want Russell Westbrook, but call it Russell Westbrook.
Dude, right? Westbrook on the Warriors? Oh, I'm in. I'm in on Westbrook on the Warriors.
I'm not in. But that sort of idea. If a superstar wants out, the team that has him isn't going to get as much as he's actually worth. So, right, you attach a player like Wiggins, who's not the same, but he's something, and the money matches, it becomes a little bit easier. But
talking about unhappy superstars, quick, who says no? Joel Embiid for James Harden. Who says no?
The Rockets.
Yeah, the Rockets.
You wouldn't want Joel Embiid.
Not for James Harden.
James Harden. James Harden, he's what, top three in the NBA probably, right? Top four?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. He really is good. I actually agree with you. I'm just surprised. I just really want James Harden and Ben Simmons to play together. I think that'd be a lot of fun, but I agree with you. You guys, what's your bold predictions? What do you got?
For title? My bold prediction, Rockets will not make the playoffs. The Rockets are gone.
Oh!
I think, at least one of them is going to be out for sure, and I don't think they're going to get enough pieces that are going to be good enough.
You're tripping though, because all right, you're keeping either Harden or Westbrook, probably Harden. Those two guys put their life on the line for the regular season. The regular season is where they shine. So they're going to do everything they can to win 50 games in the regular season. They're making the playoffs. They're not going anywhere in the playoffs. But they're making it.
It was a bold prediction that relies heavily on them both leaving. But
I think there's something to what he's saying. This goes back to new owner syndrome. The Rockets owner, he's only been around like 2 or 3 years.
New owner, new coach.
And getting rid of that GM, Daryl Morey is really good. And the fact that he was like, I'm out. I don't want any part of this. That really speaks volumes to me that like this is a sinking ship. And I don't think Harden is gone. I think Harden is a Rocket when the season starts.
Yeah.
I think by mid-season, that becomes a real question. I think the trade deadline is going to be interesting for Harden.
Yeah.
I could get in on that. I could see the Rockets still making the playoffs. What do you got, Alex? Are the Celtics winning the championship, or what? Are the Raptors coming back?
No. Aren't coming back. No, they're overrated. I think that Fred VanVleet's way overrated. He's trying to get paid, and he's just not worth what he's trying to get paid.
Who is?
So I don't even know if VanVleet, yeah.
Oh, I love him. I would love him on the Jazz.
I don't like VanVleet that much. I don't think he's that good. Kyle Lowry, he's, you know, windows closing at this point. I don't think the Raptors are going anywhere special. I think the Celtics have a chance, but I wouldn't count on it.
What do you got? Get bold with me. What you got?
Bold? Zion Williamson, top five player in the NBA next year. That'll be my bold prediction.
Ooh.
I'm big on Zion. If he stays healthy, he looked good in his short stint. He didn't look the same in the bubble as he did before, but leading up to the bubble, he looked really good. And you saw him going against teams like the Lakers, and even when LeBron was guarding him, he looked unstoppable because he just plays bully ball. So, especially in the regular season, when you got the superstars that kind of take it easy, they're not going to want to go through the punishing of having to guard them all game long. So, I think he'll be special this year.
Brett, what do you think?
He could be. That guy's so good. Last year, I mean, he was ridiculous. Yeah. I think there's a lot to say about if he can stay healthy or not, just with his mechanics, his jumping mechanics. Like
when his knees move, dude. When he walks down the sideline, I'm like,
He's going to need some serious help from athletic trainers and staff to help him correct his form and habits and everything like that so he can stay healthy.
But we also need
so much upside.
We got to know like what was wrong, because he wasn't the same player in the bubble. So I don't know if he was dealing with an injury that we weren't talking about or what was going on. But that's also a concern because he was not the same player in the bubble. And because, right, the bubble was hand-built for them to make the playoffs. So then
literally designed so that the Pelicans could play into it. Yeah. I like that prediction. I like it with Stan Van. Stan Van was so good with Dwight. I mean, now we've seen that Dwight, you know, Dwight's still talented, but he wasn't like he was playing MVP caliber basketball under Stan Van Gundy. And so I really do like that fit with Stan Van and that roster. A lot of shooting. I think I like your prediction. I think it depends how they do the Jrue Holiday trade. If the Jrue Holiday trade goes well for them, or if they even stick with Jrue Holiday, I think that could play out. But yeah, Zion was dominant, man. Did you guys watch his first game when he hit like the 4 threes in a row?
Yeah.
That was freaking nuts. I watched that live. It was a crazy crap. But I love it. Whew. You guys are ready? Are you guys ready for the draft? Are you excited?
I want the Warriors to shop that number two pick. I'm not that high on James Wiseman, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm more excited to see what happens after the draft, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I hope the Rockets blow it up like a true rocket ship style. But
I don't think there'll be a lot of trades in the draft. I think the Timberwolves and the Warriors would be the two teams to shop their lottery picks, but the rest of them I think will just draft straight up. So
we'll see.
I think we'll see. The Celtics are rumored to be trading up because they have a million picks still somehow. I don't know.
They got the number 14 pick. I think it's the 14. And then the 30th pick 14, as well.
14, I think 26 and 30 or something.
There might be a few trades to try to trade up for like the 4 or 5 pick to get Topin or Okongwu or whatever.
Do you guys have a prospect that you guys love?
No, I don't love this draft. I mean, I didn't watch that much college basketball last year, so I don't know super well.
I like Toppin. I don't love him.
Yeah.
Toppin was the guy out of, like, some small
Dayton,
school.
They went undefeated, that's right.
Yeah. No, he's good. I feel like Wiseman has a lot of upside, but, again, I couldn't watch. Well, he couldn't even play for a while there. So it's hard to know.
Hard to gauge.
I also believe, and there's obviously exceptions, I prefer the skilled basketball player over the freak athlete. I think that tends to work out better. There are people like Zion and a lot of freak athletes that do end up being great. But I think if you look in the draft, the teams that go with the skilled basketball player over the freak athlete usually do better.
San Antonio Spurs.
Right, yeah. The Spurs, you think about like Steph Curry, who's obviously, you know, not a freak athlete, and a lot of the great players in the NBA. Your best aspect is that you are a skilled basketball player. I think you do better than just a
player. Yeah, I think that rides a lot on what your team needs too. Because like if you're the Heat and you take like a 3-point shooter like Robinson last year, you know that's a really good deal for you. But if you're a team that already has good shooting and maybe you don't need a lot of skill in one spot, maybe you try to go with a freak athlete and hope he pans out. But
that's why I'm not huge on Obi Toppin for that reason. But
yeah.
You never know.
Great name.
Because Obi Toppin, I didn't watch him play a lot, but it doesn't seem like he's all that, you know, crazy skilled. It's just he's super athletic, and no one could really hang with him in college. But in the NBA, when everyone is he?
Yeah, he's more of a four, though, so he's not a lot off the dribble.
All I'm saying is that if I'm the Lakers, I'm drafting Sam Merrill.
No, my gosh. Easily. Freaking Sam Merrill. Yeah. Sam Merrill, so that, like, never mind. I'm not going to trash the Sam Merrill. I got a heavy Utah State audience. Anyway.
I think he could sneak in on the G League.
He could sneak in the second round.
He could. That's true. He could. He very much could. He is qualified and eligible.
Stop it. All right. I think he could be a decent G League player. I'm not even kidding.
I don't know. I saw some Utah guy say that he's like a shorter Luka Doncic. That I was kind of done with Sam Merrill after that comparison. I'm like, all right, I can't. This is ridiculous. I can't. He's like a shorter Luka Doncic that can shoot. I'm like, all right, we've jumped ship, everybody. Let's call tonight.
Honestly, you know, Doncic is a little bit thick. Sam, you know.
Maybe. I gotta end this podcast before it gets any stupider. But for Alex Kinnear, Brevin Zollinger, this has been the Turnaround J podcast. Guys, we did it. We made another podcast.
There you go. Are you gonna post this one?
Oh, man.